This is the ninth episode of Walk About and Find Out, and today I'm talking to Tia Bui. He is the co-founder and CTO of ATEX, a company that has been described as an orchestration platform for human work featuring 120,000 people across more than 30 countries. ATEX is naturally going to be the main topic of our discussion today. But firstly, how is your day going?
My day is going well. It's 11 a.m. where I'm calling in from. Had a couple calls this morning, but no, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
We were just talking before the meeting. Ljubljana looks lovely in the background. It's been nice weather recently as well.
Yes, it's a beautiful place. We just actually flew in part of our team for an offsite. We just spent a month here, and it's wrapping up now.
Okay, nice. We'll definitely talk about that later because I think recruitment and the hackathons that ATEX are running are really interesting to me at the moment. Let's look to the past quickly. We first met at the Entrepreneurs First kickoff weekend. You're about to start the Form program in London. What would you say has been your biggest surprise since then? Could be ATEX related or just life related?
My biggest surprise would probably be like how fast we're moving, I think. Like we're very ambitious with all of our targets, and it seems like maybe we were even a bit too conservative with them. I think we need to be even more ambitious. And I mean, moving to San Francisco for half the year really helped us with grow our ambition, for instance.
Okay, so San Fran was still a surprise, even with all the hype about how quickly it makes you move.
Exactly.
Nice. Let's talk about ATEX then. Before we sort of delve deeper, could you give a quick summary of the company? Maybe firstly from a client's perspective, and then secondly from a creator's perspective.
Sure. AI can do a lot today, but you always need a human in the loop. Because even though AI can do a lot, it can't do everything. And you need a human for its judgment, its trust, its accountability, its flexibility, creativity, whatever it may be. And what we do at ADEX is we plug the humans into the loop, because in these agentic systems, these humans become the bottleneck. And so what we do is we orchestrate, evaluate, upskill these humans at scale, plugging them into these loops. Currently, we're doing this in marketing. Internally, we're also doing this in sales and engineering. But for now, the main vertical that we've commercialized is marketing, where essentially AI can do the social listening, the script writing, the evaluation of a bunch of human creators. And the humans are the ones to create the content and to post on them on social media, because AI does not go viral. Similarly, in sales, AI can do the sourcing, qualification, prospecting, but it can't hop onto the call and close the deal, which is where our humans come in.
Interesting. I think the word orchestration's doing a lot of work there because maybe from the outside, you could call yourself a marketing agency or a creator network, but from what you're saying there, the scale is a lot bigger.
That's right. I mean, what differentiates us from an agency is the fact that, I mean, first of all, we're very data driven. We have a bunch of automations that help us scale this. Agencies don't scale, and that's what we build through our technology, and that's why we're a tech company.
I see. Has that sort of larger scale, has that changed what you're building day to day?
Has it changed what we build? Yes, I mean, we still build fast, but what's great is like every single one of these verticals that we work in, the same principle applies, where you essentially need to start with a huge top of funnel of humans, and you need to bring them through that funnel, and you need to evaluate and upskill them as they go down. And the highest performing ones, you can give them a lot more opportunities. But essentially, like these learnings, are the same across creator networks, across engineering, across sales, data labeling, even user research, what have you.
So you're seeing a lot of overlap between marketing and other verticals then.
100%. We're able to apply these learnings and the same approach in terms of developing our technology and the platforms to like manage these humans yeah, across these verticals. I think that all of these verticals are slightly different, where like the main thing that changes is kind of like the output that they derive. So for example, the thing that we evaluate creators on is their virality component. So like how many views do they actually get? Whereas in sales, it's like, you know, how many bookings do they actually meet? And so like as long as you have a clear understanding of like what like a golden metric that you can evaluate people against each other, then you can, well, apply the same process across the board. And then, for example, in user research is the quality of the feedback that they give, same in data labeling.
Okay, so when you're looking for verticals to employ ATEX in, there always needs to be quantifiable data in which to measure humans off.
That's right. That's right. The way we think of like the verticals is wherever like you can have a golden metric, wherever like the same principle of like a huge top of funnel, and like basically there's a power law where like 10% of the humans drive 90% of the value. And then also a instance where you actually just need more humans like applied to the problem rather than less, right? So in the past, like for a job, you might need to hire one person, but now because you can evaluate a bunch of people at the same time, maybe you want 10 people to like do the job, and then you pick the best one. So like more rather than less people.
That's an interesting proposition. I mean, to me, that almost seems like you're moving almost to recruitment slightly. Is that fair?
There's that's a fair point. I think, I mean, we've gone viral on social media a couple of times now, especially on X, LinkedIn. I mean, obviously like TikTok, Instagram, that's our bread and butter. But like through these like viral posts, we've gotten a lot of interest from engineers, product managers, designers who want to join us. And like we essentially use the same process that we're doing with our product and our service to evaluate these people to join the company, where we start with a bunch of them. So for example, what we did a couple of weeks ago is like we started off like with an engineering sprint where we started with five engineers. And then over the course of a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we identify the ones that use AI the best, the ones who learn the quickest and ship the fastest. And then from that, we double down on the winners and we drop the ones that don't work. But that's just part of the hiring process.
Okay, I see. You mentioned a golden metric earlier there in reference to verticals. Is there any major vertical that you can't see ATEX growing in because of that?
Oh, what can't we go into? That's a good question.
It's probably a tough
I don't
question
know
as
that.
well.
I don't know that anything. Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I think this point about quantifiable metrics is interesting. To me, that's why you went into marketing first, right? Because that's a very quantifiable, it's very easy to measure campaigns. I think, gosh, yeah. I suppose writing, anything copywriting might be a little bit more difficult. I would have thought maybe recruitment and HR a little bit, but it also seems like you're kind of doing it. But again, maybe for roles that are more based on things like communication than engineering. But yeah, it's a tough question. Probably a lot more difficult to answer than yeah, all the verticals that ATEX can go into, I suppose.
Yeah, we can definitely go into a lot. I mean, copywriting is an interesting one because, I mean, at the end of the day, you can get like AI to produce a lot of content, but you need a human to choose the best one, right? The human brings the taste, and the taste is what tells the AI, okay, stop generating new versions. I'm going to go with this one. And this is what
Yeah.
humans are great for.
So if we sort of look at the growth curve here, you obviously started with marketing as a vertical. The position that you're in now, was this always the plan, or is scaling just constantly happening for you guys?
Was marketing the plan? Like always the plan? No, it was always the stepping stone. The way we were thinking about our company was like we wanted to build a company, first of all, that employed a bunch of people, and then also that didn't die. And so what does that mean? Like, it means that nowadays when the frontier labs just like release a model, they kill like a dozen startups like this, you know? And by allowing us to repurpose our human network across the board, we're able to stay nimble, agile. But I think even more than that, with all of these verticals, we need a bunch of humans. And currently, the best method to get humans onto our platform is actually creator networks, which is why we wanted to become the best at it first. That's actually why we reached over 200,000 creators, humans on our platforms. It's no longer the 120 that you mentioned in the intro. Just because we launched these campaigns around the world, people saw the opportunity that 8x presented and they came to us. On our engineering platform, we have over 20,000. On our research, also over 10,000. But we're looking to grow our human network to 5 million by the end of the year.
Amazing. So do you think that most of the people that you employ come through on these like inbound applications as a cause of virality, or do you still need to do some outbound stuff as well?
Yeah, we do very little outbound.
Nice. So it's a sort of self-perpetuating cycle of a
Exactly.
ever increasing number of humans. So I noticed on the 8x website, you guys also just recently put up a load of blogs. And in the context of this interview, this makes a little bit more sense because you're targeting so many different verticals. But you describe them as organic lanes, which are niches that nobody has shown up in yet. And there's a real range in these. Could you give some insights into how you spot them before anybody else does?
Sure. I think you're referencing the blogs related to like the creator networks and just like virality on social media.
Okay.
Essentially, what we do to identify like which content to produce there is we do a bunch of social listening. So we scrape TikTok, Instagram, and identify like what's going viral in various niches and identify like where there are pockets of opportunity and also like certain geographies. And then what we do is we just double down on that content. In like Picasso said that good artists copy, great artists steal, one of my favorite quotes. And essentially, like once you see a pocket of opportunity, you repurpose formats that you know work, outlier content, and you just repurpose it for that niche, and then you go viral. That's how you engineer it.
So does none of that apply to a different vertical that you work in, say engineering, for example?
Well, in engineering, AI can write a lot of code, but you need a human to, well, prompt the AI, Claude Code, Codex, whatever you want. And the input that a human actually gives is actually like, for example, the prompts. And so what we do is we evaluate all the prompts and responses that you give to AI and you receive from AI. And then from that, you can identify, well, first of all, like the golden metric, which is like how people prompt, how people use AI to like improve their workloads. Whether or not, for example, they use parallel agents or not. And with this, you can also identify like, you know, the winning prompts, the prompts that actually get the most responses, the winning skills, the winning workflows, the winning commands. And these you can repurpose across like other engineers. Similarly, like, you know, building a good like structure allows you to like move really quickly. Like I think there are a lot of like interesting SaaSes that like allow you to hit the ground running, especially now, like even like Lovable for prototyping, for example, Supabase for databases. Like there are a lot of tools that allow you to just hit the ground running. And this is part of like the equivalent, I would say, of like, you know, viral hooks and messaging on social media.
Yeah, the engineering equivalents. Across these verticals, what kind of companies do you find yourselves working with?
In terms of, so I mean, to be honest, very different companies. Companies who want to use our sales motion usually are a bit like older and like have like, you know, very stringent like sales processes, very structured. But to be honest, I mean, it's clear like the ones that are the fastest to adopt like new technology or like new ways of doing things, which is like, you know, utilizing our human network, for example, in the content space, is like AI companies who just want to grow at all costs. They just want to scale at all costs. They just want to have many shots on target at virality, which is what our high volume UGC like allows them to have. But yeah, just companies who want to scale really quickly. And you can see that with startups, you can see that with venture scale companies, you can see that with a bit more of like, I mean, you see that a bit less with the legacy industries, but
Have you ever worked with a company on, say, UGC, and then they've turned to you and said, okay, actually, we also want to entrust, say, the engineering side with you guys as well?
definitely. I mean, with when it comes to like the UGC, like with some of our clients, they would launch a new feature, which is kind of what they wanted, like the distribution to like to capture it to promote. And they would ask like the 30 creators on the campaign to test out the feature and give them feedback. And so already like that's where you see like, you know, some user research, some QA like being utilized. Similarly, like I mean, right now what we're doing is B2C like marketing. But like some companies also want to use like our cold callers to like reach more companies. Like, I mean, it really depends who they're selling to and the best channel for that.
Is that a big goal for ATEX? Do you want to work with, say, a small amount of companies, but really cover lots of different departments within that company? Or do you want to be, say, one cog of a large group of companies?
We definitely want to be multiple cogs. That's why we're diversifying quite early on and exploring a lot of the different verticals, because at the end of the day, we're going to be doing lots of things. If we're able to upsell these solutions to all the companies, then that's a great outcome for us as well.
How
Because the way we think
silos?
about it, sorry, just to go back, is like from at least like the supply side, like the creator side, like they're not just thinking of ADEX as like, oh, a platform to create content. They think of us as like a job platform, an opportunity platform. Like maybe in the morning they want to do content creation, maybe in the afternoon they want to do sales, maybe in the evening they want to do engineering. And so that's kind of how our supply thinks of us, and that's how we want the companies to also think of us.
You're kind of a supply yourself of just direct manpower.
Exactly.
Do you find the people who you employ to be siloed within, I suppose engineering requires a lot of technical expertise, so maybe that is siloed, but say, do you find someone moving from doing UGC for ATEX to doing sales and cold calls?
Anyone can do anything nowadays because AI is here to help you, to give you personalized advice, and to upskill you, right? So even nowadays, like, you know, someone who's non-technical can ship a product. You know, if they're able to just prompt AI, get guided in the right way. Similarly, like through our courses and our evaluation, like our upskilling, we can also teach an engineer to go viral on social media, whether or not they want to put a face behind the camera, whether or not they want to use AI content, whether or not they just want to use clips. Like, I think, I mean, we're seeing a lot of people interested in just exchanging their time for money. And so whatever they exchange their time for, whether that's content creation, engineering, or other verticals, they're able to like be upskilled. And what's great is that like by putting them into these new situations that they've never been before, they can identify new skills and new areas of interest for them.
So you think that's something that you're sort of actively encouraging through learning courses that you provide, is that right?
Exactly.
That's quite a cool proposition. I mean, it's the history student within me talking about this, but obviously, if you go back 400 or 500 years ago, to be a smart person meant being smart across so many different subjects and topics. Maybe not cold calling and engineering necessarily, but I think the principle is there. And it's amazing to see how AI can help encourage that.
Yeah, no, AI is a crazy technology. And nowadays, the people who will survive in the new world are people who are able to context switch very rapidly. And whenever they need to go deep, they're able to like utilize AI to upskill themselves really fast, get all the contextual like domain knowledge required. The same way that like, I mean, when I went to university, I started during COVID, and you know, we didn't actually, we like all of our exams were open internet, open book. And so we didn't have to learn equations. It made the exams way harder because, like, obviously we had access to these tools, but it meant that what we had to learn was, like, how can we utilize these tools to get, like, the responses faster and, like, more accurately.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to your founding principles, let's call them. You mentioned there that you wanted to found a company that employs lots of people. What is the thinking behind that? Where did it come from?
Well, everyone nowadays, like, with all the AI hype, wants to build a company with zero humans because AI can do everything. And we actually believe that, well, first of all, humans are not going anywhere anytime soon. So don't worry about that. And actually, counterintuitively, in these agentic systems, you'll actually need more humans rather than less humans as AI does more of the work. Are you familiar with Jevons paradox?
I'm not. Educate me.
Jevons paradox essentially says, like, well, the example is usually shown is, like, when you have more fuel efficient cars, do you think that you will be using more fuel or less fuel as, like, a society?
Presumably, less fuel.
Presumably less fuel. But actually, because cars are more fuel efficient, more people want them. And so there are more cars on the road. And so that means that more fuel is actually consumed. Similarly, in these agentic systems where you have a human in the loop, as, like, AI gets better and the gap where the human, like, intervenes becomes, well, smaller, you actually have more of these systems. So you need more humans. When you take a look at the most autonomous car company, for example, Waymo. They have humans in the loop. Like, one human, I think, commands 30 cars. But as they expand to the UK, to other geographies, they're going to need more humans, not less. And
Interesting.
so that's why we want to build a company with lots of humans.
Yeah, that's a super, that's a very profound insight to build a startup on. I'm assuming this came first before everything else, and then everything's been built around this one principle. Is that fair?
That's fair to say, yeah. I think what's important is to, like, when you work on an idea, to have, like, a vision of, like, what the future is going to look like, and then build your company around that. Because it's very easy to, I mean, when people think about, like, oh, like, what does the future look like? They think about, like, oh, what's going to change? What's going to change? But it's actually even better to build a company on, like, what isn't going to change. What do you know is going to remain true in the next decade, regardless of what happens?
And throughout the iterations of it of ATEX, that vision's never changed, has it?
No, we've always wanted to build a company that doesn't die, that grows really fast, that employs lots of people, that upskills them using AI. That's kind of what we aligned on very early on. And marketing was the earliest form of that, like, manifestation. That's the way, like, this product manifested itself because it was the best lever to bring a bunch of people onto our platforms, and the same principles applied in other verticals that we'd be able to learn from marketing.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear this because obviously I've only seen step one of the project. So it's like I'm watching a Hollywood movie and it's like a big plot twist halfway through the
Yeah, we just
movie.
removed the mask.
So you also apply these principles to ATEX, the company itself, right? So you automate loads at ATEX, but presumably, based on what you're saying, with the increased output, you still need a human eyeball in certain things. Can you give some examples of that?
Well, basically, everything that we've commercialized so far is something that we've built in-house first. So when it came to the marketing, like, we just scaled our own creator network first, well, using creator networks, before we started selling that to our companies, because, I mean, it's a marketplace at the end of the day, so you need both sides. And when it comes to sales, we automated all of our sales processes internally. whether that's the sourcing, qualification, prospecting, contract generation, and also like meeting prep, for instance. And when we started closing deals in geographies where we didn't even speak the language, what we just did, we just put a creator through a course, upskilled them, evaluated them, and then put the best one onto the call, and then they closed the deal. And so this is something that we did for ourselves, and we're still doing for ourselves, and we're starting to commercialize it just now. And so, like we just, at least we're consistent with the way we do things, you know. Always test it out internally, make it useful for us, because if it's useful for us, it'll be useful for countless other companies.
So you develop the workflow for yourselves, and then once that's proven, you then tell your employees to follow it as well.
Exactly. Even when it comes to, for example, like some of the tools that we use for content creation, like one of them is social listening, where we scrape the various platforms and identify what's going viral. And so this tool is something that we've used for our sales, obviously for our content direction, our campaigns. And this tool, because we've built it for ourselves, it's super useful for us. And actually, a lot of the companies that we work with, people running creator networks themselves that we're happy to support, like we're able to offer them this tool as well.
Yes, I think I saw that listed on your website, actually. Is that going to be a major product going forward, these tools that you offer alongside the people, or is the focus still primarily on the humans?
The focus is on the humans for sure.
Okay, so the tools just sort of exist on the side to supplement it then.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about hackathons actually and recruitment for ATEX as well. You had a hackathon in London, I think about a month ago, a month and a bit ago. You are currently in Ljubljana as well, and I've seen a hackathon there, and you have one coming up in Berlin. And from the outside looking in, it looks like you're making hires directly from these hackathons. Is that true?
That's right. Hackathons is something that we started getting into. It actually ended up being a very interesting, like as you mentioned, like hiring pipeline. The last winners for the London Hackathon joined us for an internship over the summer, and now they're building out like entirely new like product segments for us. And what's great as well is like being able to just like combine a lot of talented people in a condensed space, the same way that EF does it. And through the evaluation of like the hackathons, it's the same funnel that applies. You know, a lot of people at the hackathons, you identify the best ones and you take the best ones for yourself.
Do you find it to be almost more effective than the sort of traditional job hiring process?
I think that, well, when it comes to engineering, people who do hackathons are people who, first of all, are coding on their free time. Hackathons is not something that they're required to do for their job. It's something that they find enjoyment in doing. And it shows that, first of all, they can ship fast, because usually there's a short time period in which they have to ship a product. And that in and of itself is like a great signal for someone who, well, likes coding on their own time and can ship fast, which essentially is what you look for in an engineer nowadays.
Nice. Do you think that it could ever be applicable to roles outside of engineering, or do you think it's always going to stay within that role?
Definitely. I think I mean when I went through university, I went to a make what was it, Makeathon? Was it a Makeathon? Where essentially it was like a bunch of designers, where our product designers, we had to actually build products rather than just like, you know, code something. And so I definitely see, like, especially now with the advances of AI, where it's not just in engineering where you can code something really quickly, but you can design something very quickly, you can build out more workflows very quickly. I definitely see that being a possibility in the future. It'd be interesting to see what, for example, a hackathon for lawyers would look like.
Yeah, you'd pay for their time. That's a start. So, and the sort of process of getting hired from this hackathon, is it instant, or you mentioned that you go into like a 2 month internship and then possibly get hired afterwards?
Yeah, we'd like to get a lot of context with the people that we work with prior to bringing them on full time. I think an internship, or as I mentioned, like a 3 week sprint for certain engineers to identify, like, okay, are they able to, like, you know, work fast? Do they also like enjoy this fast paced environment that they're working in? Like at the end of the day, a hire a hiring decision has to make sense on both sides. But to answer your question, we get context first and then we double down the same way we do it with creators, sales reps, and our hires.
You stay on brand.
Exactly, we stay consistent.
Let's talk a little bit about the locations you decided. You're obviously raised in San Francisco, but now you're hiring outside of SF, which could be seen as unusual. What's the thinking behind that decision?
But I think the benefit of hiring outside of SF is the fact that there are a lot of talented people out there in the world. And especially now with AI, like, they can be upskilled even faster. People outside the US also, like, they want to prove themselves. They haven't been given the opportunity to prove themselves. And if you give them that opportunity, then they will work for it. They'll work way harder than someone who is able to have access to all this opportunity and can just go to like any other startup that they wish to.
So you almost find hiring outside of the US to have a stronger culture? Is that fair?
I mean, definitely the people that we work with are really hungry. We work with people from like the best schools like around the world, whether that's in London, in France, in the Netherlands, in Pakistan, in India. I mean, obviously, I have a remote company, but these people are—they're cracked. They're the best at what they do, and I don't know—the filter of like just because they aren't like in the same room as us in the same country as us doesn't mean that they shouldn't have the same opportunity to build a generational company with us.
I'm conscious that you have a busy morning. So let's finish with this question. In 5 years, if we had this interview again, what would you say is the version of ATEX that you would have hoped to create?
In 5 years, we'll be at Decacord.
That ambition. Thank you for your time and speaking to me. And yeah, wish you all the best and a productive week.
Sasha, a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.